Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and as promised, Scott Wieman here with us from Catholic in Recovery. He wrote the Sacraments and the 12 Steps, and he's been building up this beautiful apostolate, Catholic in Recovery, and he's actually on the road. Usually we have him here in studio with us, but he's, as part of his work building up that apostolate, which is an apostolate, I'll let him tell you about it. I was going to describe it, but I'll let him describe it to you. He'll do better than I will. Scott's on the road, so it's nice to have you here, but even though we don't quite have you here, Scott.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I miss being in studio with you and rubbing shoulders together. But I think we'll make do. Hopefully the sound is coming in all right.
Yeah, you sound fine. So give us the basic rundown, because I was going to give it a shot, but you may not know this, but you're more qualified than I am to describe your own apostolate. Tell me about Catholics in Recovery. What is it? What does it do? How's it growing?
Yeah. So Catholic in Recovery is a community. I like to describe it as a community rather than a ministry or an organization, but a community of men and women who are seeking freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, as well as those impacted by the family disease of addiction. That might include alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, restricted eating, gambling addiction, pornography and lust addiction, technology addiction, cluttering, you name it. These things that we attach to or seek in place of God that become not only habit forming, but really manifest physically, socially, emotionally and spiritually. And so we unite 12-step addiction recovery with the sacramental life of the church to create a place where people can find really support. It's really just those who have found recovery, sharing the good news with those who are seeking it, and in turn, both benefit.
If you'd like to talk about that, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So the key thing I always feel like we need to let people know is you're not trying to replace whatever addiction or recovery program or process someone is in. Maybe it's Alcoholics Anonymous, or maybe it's another group. This is not a replacement for that.
Absolutely, yes. It's not a replacement. Supplemental to, the way that I see Catholic in Recovery is really a bridge between 12-step recovery fellowships or other addiction recovery fellowships and the Catholic Church. We find many people who have found the miraculous healing from God in a recovery fellowship or working some kind of recovery program, oftentimes wanting a deeper relationship with God or someone who they might, identify as a higher power. Maybe returning to the faith of their youth, or maybe coming to the Catholic Church for the first time. And also those who are in the pews, those, Catholics who are seeking freedom from an addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment that might keep them separated from God or create family challenges or a variety of those things that can really be a huge impediment in our spiritual life. As Pope Francis says, We act like a field hospital, for those who are just living their daily lives. And, there are many things that seek our attention or promise fulfillment, alcohol, drugs, food, you name it. It's really woven with my own story as well. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict who in 2011 found freedom thanks to 12-step recovery groups. And as a result, I made my way back to the church. Over some time, I found that the church could be doing a little bit more to support those, provide a message of hope for those who are impacted by addiction, and began just writing at first. And then over time, doing some speaking, a community has formed. We now have about 90 different Catholic and recovery groups around the country that are active in 30 plus different states, 2 in Mexico, 2 in Canada. And we have a variety of virtual meetings, about 30 every week that meet on a regular basis. Some of them are general in nature. Some of them are for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. Some are specific to different addiction types, such as food, lust, alcohol and drugs, et cetera.
888-318-7884. If you're encountering this in your family, maybe you yourself are struggling. Maybe there's someone that you'd like some advice on how to help in their struggles. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. Scott, when I think about what you do, and it seems to me that the Catholic Church at its best, somebody saw a need and they said, how does the gospel apply to this need? And that's how we ended up with Catholic school systems and hospital systems and all of that. This is a real need that the Catholic community can contribute to, this dealing with addiction, walking with those who are in recovery or who may not be in recovery, but are, but need help to get there. This seems to me that, you know, I would hope in hundreds of years from now, this would be one of the things that's listed with Catholic hospitals and Catholic schools and all that. The Catholics saw a need and applied the gospel to that need.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it will be long before we see Catholic and recovery fellowships around the world and really active. You know, there are Protestant organizations, Celebrate Recovery is one of them, that is active in 30,000 different churches around the world. In fact, we lose many Catholics to those, you know, they find freedom, their life, they experience miracles around addiction recovery in non-Catholic Christian fellowships. And then oftentimes that leads them to start worshiping in those fellowships. There are also many who participating in 12-step recovery groups or other Christian non-Catholic fellowships who long to unite their sacramental life, their faith, their Catholic devotions with their recovery. And in many of those circumstances, we have to remain rather general in nature as we're describing God. In many secular fellowships, referring to Jesus Christ is often deemed out of bounds. Those fellowships are not unilaterally Christian, but I think that that's changed over some time. And so the need really for a Catholic in recovery or some kind of a Catholic fellowship that centers around addiction recovery is absolutely needed.
888-318-7884, the number, as happens with Scott's here, already plenty of folks on the line. There are a couple lines open if you got a question you'd like to ask. Any question is welcome. You certainly don't have to be Catholic to call. If there's questions that you'd like Scott's help with, that's what Scott does. He's helpful and very knowledgeable and very grounded, and we would love to take your call. 888-318-7884. We'll start in Nebraska with Elizabeth in Nebraska. Elizabeth, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Yes.
Hi, Elizabeth.
My granddaughter, who is in her early 30s now, has been on drugs off and on since she was 13 years old. In between, she has birthed 5 children, 2 of which are living with her father, and her grandmother is there to help out. But she came to Nebraska from Wichita, Kansas, the night before last, and has tried to get her into the mission. Is what she said she would do, and try to get in to get some help. And when we put her in the mission, they, of course, got her background check and contacted the cops, and the police picked her up this morning in Kearney.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. What would you like Scott to help you with?
I'd like to know if he could somehow get to her in jail and talk to her and get her started and tell her where she can go. She's a Catholic.
Scott?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can hear. Elizabeth, thank you for calling in. It's the weight that you're carrying and the burden which you carry is present throughout your call. And I think this shows truly how addiction does not just happen in a vacuum. First and foremost, the entire family is impacted by addiction, not just the individual who is struggling. I have seen many people find recovery and a new way of life in the worst of places, in the gutter, in prison, in jail, in institutions, in the hospital, that we would call rock bottom. And these moments of rock bottom where there are very few other opportunities or options available other than seeking God's help. I've been there myself. This is where I was, asking God, please take this from me. Of course, it looked so much different than the way that I had hoped for, but God intervened. And I can relate also on a family level. You know, I have many concerned family members and friends who, while I was active in my addiction, you know, leading me down paths that were really, really scary for them, they did all that they could, but they couldn't do much. And so it wasn't until I hit this place of really losing it all, experiencing the natural consequences of my behavior and actions. Was I really faced with this life or death situation? And it was either get help or die. Now, that was for me the moment where the fear of doing something different overcame my fear of change. So the pain of what I was going through prompted me to get to find help and to find change. That doesn't happen when we are just being protected by family members. Sometimes a jail cell can be a great place to find that kind of help. Now, I would strongly encourage yourself, other family members, even while your granddaughter is in jail or is locked up, seek your own help. Find some help. Find a group that might be similar to Al-Anon or a Catholic in Recovery family and friends group, which you can find online, or other resources. Educate yourself on addiction recovery and find others who have been in your shoes. And they will share with you what you can do to support and what might not be so helpful. As far as your daughter is concerned, you know, when I certainly cannot, you know, visit her in a Nebraska jail, but I do think that there is hope for her. And perhaps while she's here in this place of challenge, that she might actually find some help herself. But that's not going to come, you know, overnight. But it might come from someone who's been in exactly her shoes. If she's willing, when she gets out, if she's willing for change, be supportive of that change. But seek some professional help so you know where to direct her, and also non-professional help in the way of other family members who have been in your situation. I think it can be very helpful, because the insanity of addiction, and I it sounds like you're dealing with some insanity here, can't be counteracted just in isolation or by ourselves. We need a community, and we certainly need the help of God. I would first and foremost, though, strongly encourage finding other family members who are impacted by addiction to show you the way.
Elizabeth, thank you very much. That brings us to the break. We have to take that break. I will be right back with Scott Wieman and more calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, which you can find at... Scott, you just give the web address. You know I always butcher it. Just give the web address.
CatholicInRecovery.com.
How could I butcher that? It's so simple, and I get it wrong virtually every time. CatholicInRecovery.com. That's not that hard. Check them out. Let's go to Christopher in Wichita. I believe that's where Christopher is. Christopher, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
I was actually willing to offer some support for Elizabeth, whose daughter is in Wichita, Kansas. Her granddaughter is in Wichita, Kansas. I didn't hear the whole interview, but I am here in Wichita. Maybe there's something I can do.
Scott?
I love that. So that is exactly, this is how recovery works, is that someone... Christopher, having had an experience himself, a rock bottom moment where he was desperate, I'm sure his family members craving something new and maybe even concerned that he may never find it, now has found help, has found a miracle in his life, and is looking to give back, probably because he recognizes that it's also helpful for him to maintain his own recovery and grow spiritually through the process. So This is how recovery works. It's one individual sharing hope with another. It would be prudent for Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, if you're still listening, strongly encourage you to find some help either in a virtual setting or in an in-person setting. And
if Christopher wants to check in with it was Elizabeth's granddaughter.
Find help.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted. I think we lost contact with you. I thought you were done, Scott. But so should I have Elizabeth call back and we'll give her Scott's number? Is that, or how should we do this? Chris's number in Wichita. How should we connect you, Chris?
Chris, what do you think?
However you'd like to do it, I just wanted to offer up some help for her, maybe get a woman from another anonymous group or whatever. Send her a book or the Scott Wieman book. I've got that we can give to her. Just some type of way to hopefully open the door, as long as she's willing. That's the one thing. She's got to be willing. If she's willing, then, you know, this will work. Mm-hmm. But I am a virtual attendee, and that's what that's why I'm reaching out. And a regular anonymous group.
I feel like we're so privileged right now to see how recovery works. And here's Christopher in Wichita, Kansas, associated with Catholic in Recovery, saying that he'll be happy to help Elizabeth's daughter, who's in jail in Wichita, and needs some encouragement to get into recovery. If we can hang on, Christopher, we're going to get your information and we'll get it to Elizabeth if she'll call us back, because we don't have Elizabeth's number, do we? So we got Elizabeth, if you're listening, just give us a call. We're holding two lines open for you. I don't know why we're holding two. Go ahead.
I'll also note this. She can also email me at scott@catholicinrecovery.com, and I will be sure to connect to make those connections as well. We're likely going to be starting a Catholic in Recovery group in Wichita over the next couple of months, and we will also have a retreat at the Catholic in Recovery retreat at the Spiritual Life Center in Wichita, October 13th through 15th. And so there are some great things happening locally for her to get connected with. But as Christopher noted, the one thing that I can't do, or Christopher can't do, or you can't do, is instill that willingness. If the person is not willing to find help, then help is almost impossible. And this is one of the beautiful things about recovery, is the respect of one's free will. God respects our free will in that he can do anything. But in most cases, intervention comes with our willingness to allow him to. And so that willingness piece oftentimes is sparked not by being on a winning streak, but rather hitting a place of rock bottom.
Christopher, if you'd be kind enough just to stay on the line for a minute, Edgar will get to you. We'll get the information to get it to Elizabeth if she calls back. Elizabeth, the number is 888-318-7884. And God bless you in your work and in your own recovery, Christopher. We're very, very grateful for the call. I want to read a question that an anonymous caller gave, anxious about being on the air with you, but I'll read the question as I have it and you address it as you can. Okay, Scott? Anonymous caller asked this: I have OCD with scrupulosity to a great degree. How much effort should I be putting into overcoming it instead of giving in?
This is a very good question. And there are many layers of our spirituality that can either get in the way of surrender to God, scrupulosity being one of those. So if we look, and this is something actually that is related to the second step of recovery. Step one is we admitted we were powerless over fill in the blank, alcohol, drugs, food, lust, gambling, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And that implies insanity. It also came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. This also implies that there might be some barriers to faith that we might look at in this. That requires really a look at what does our relationship with God look like. There are many barriers that can create our challenges in allowing God to restore us to sanity. That might be indifference towards God. We might just be indifference, and that's almost one of the most challenging to overcome, is a sense of indifference. We might have our own personal defiance, which is not unique for those people who are in recovery. But also scrupulosity, which is really a matter of propelled by our own actions, by a seeming need to be perfect in order to be accepted by God. And so scrupulosity, which might challenge someone or make it very hard, really instill a lot of shame. Shame can be activated quite a bit by scrupulosity. If I do one thing wrong, then God, I'll be damned, or God will look at me in a way that it's not accepting, and the consequences of that are eternal. That can be overwhelming and keep someone from really taking the next step of action. This is not a program of knowledge. In fact, sometimes the more we know, the more challenging it can be to find recovery, but it's a program of action. Usually we know what is right or wrong. So it's not a question of knowing the right thing to do, but it's a behavioral problem. And it's a behavioral problem because addiction takes root, as I mentioned, in many ways, physically or biologically, cognitively or mentally, emotionally and spiritually. And so we have, there are many, addiction has a great grip on us, can also lead to scrupulosity, you know, so that we makes it very challenging to surrender ourselves to God. That third step came after we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. As Catholics, we understand God in a Trinity way, a true Trinitarian way, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if we are still relying on our own sense of perfection in order for God to work miracles in our lives, then we need to look at that before we take action. While we take action.
Anonymous, thank you so much. I will also suggest to you that you check out CatholicInRecovery.com, which I now know that website, and I'm going to get it right from now on, Catholic in Recovery. I've done every wrong way on that. You can't believe my disappointment when I've looked in your face sometimes, Scott, and I'm like, that's right, right? And you're like, nope, that's not our web address. And I'm like, come on, man. All right, I'm going to keep going. Let's see who we got. Well, let's go to Mary in Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Mary, awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you. Scott, do you have any programs for the gender transitioning young adult who is cutting herself, who's making multiple attempts at committing suicide, who doesn't want to hear any religious platitudes? She had a bone marrow transplant. She says that she's male because she's got male DNA from her male donor. And she is stuck in the cycle and is getting a positive, extreme positive reinforcement for those who want her to continue with this, even though she could possibly kill herself.
Scott.
And we're trying to find a recovery group. And I thought this might possibly be a possibility if you have something like that up and running.
Okay, Mary, hang on.
Yeah, so thank you, Mary, for your call. And it sounds like you've got a great concern for this individual. I would say that we have groups available for anyone. The effectiveness of those groups is going to be largely based on the willingness of the participants to take action or to follow through. That, of course, doesn't need to happen immediately. That willingness can come, and a lot of times there can be a sense of, for example, my own recovery started not because I wanted what's best for myself. I really just wanted to win back some of the things that I had lost. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry.
Oh, I think my camera went out. That probably messed you up a little bit. Yeah. But it's best for everyone when my camera goes out, Scott.
All good. So the intentions with which we start our recovery do not have to be perfect. But something within a recovery group can pull us out of what we're currently in the midst of. That might be insanity on a lot of different levels. You described a bit of that yourself, Mary. And I would also suggest that one thing that you won't find a lot of within the Catholic and Recovery Fellowship would be religious platitudes. You're going to get people who can share, who can understand and empathize, but also who are going to just speak truth and not sugarcoat things and, you know, not let you know that this is going to be one of the most challenging battles that you'll ever overcome. And not everyone finds freedom. But if you're willing to take action and willing to put in half of the effort in your recovery with which you put into seeking addiction, that you'll find help. I do wonder though, Mary, is addiction part of her story? You mentioned some mental health challenges and some gender ideology things, but is there also, is she compensating with some kind of substance or behavior that might be addictive or compulsive?
Yeah, I haven't heard, one thing I want to say, I think it's Kratom, maybe?
Kratom.
It's, you know,
synthetic marijuana.
Oh, is that?
And it's popular. It's totally free and available where she's going to school. You know, everybody's taking it, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, she has the ritual of cutting herself and saying she's, you know, it sounds totally bizarre to me. How do you say you're going to be happy with hair and a deep voice when you're attempting to commit suicide?
Mary, I'm going to let Scott respond on the other side because we have to take this break. If you'll hold on, we'll get you an answer right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Anna Mitchell here. Tomorrow morning on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll talk about the life and witness of St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher and kick off Religious Freedom Week on their feast day. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Mary is on the line with Scott Wieman, our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can find him at catholicinrecovery.com. We haven't even mentioned the Catholic in Recovery workbook. So after we talk with Mary, we'll talk about the Catholic in Recovery workbook a little bit. But Mary has a young person in her life who is struggling with the transgender stuff, finding a great deal of support there. Cutting herself, using what you called synthetic marijuana. And you were about to kind of respond to Mary before we had to go to the break.
Yeah. So I think that it's really important to understand the situation that this young woman is in and be very clear. And so what should lead our minds in this is that this is a sick person. This person is not well. And clearly, if there are suicide attempts, if she's cutting, if she is resorting to alcohol, drugs, bad behaviors, unhealthy behaviors in order to cope, and certainly there's a lot of dysphoria around gender. So I think that most important is to not see her as she's doing something wrong. Why can't she just change? Will she ever understand or get it? But rather, this is a sick person. And so I, you know, would try to treat in both in a sense of your own attitude and the way that you would communicate with them as if they're very sick, spiritually sick, of course, also physically sick and emotionally sick. So leave with that. I would also recognize that she's seeking affirmation. A lot of times we do surround ourselves with people who are going to affirm behaviors that are not so healthy for us. That oftentimes is a means for the other person to justify their own bad behavior. If we have a group consensus that this is okay, we can continue to justify it, despite the fact that other things are happening, cutting, suicide attempts, and things of this nature. I think that what this woman needs is really just an interaction, an empathetic and a loving interaction with someone who has found freedom, someone who has been in a place of some gender dysphoria and or has resorted to cutting or suicidal attempts, suicidal ideation. And that can certainly be found in the Catholic in Recovery group. We do have a meeting that gathers weekly. It's a virtual meeting. I should be able to tell you the date and the time, but I can't off the top of my head, but it's a dual disorders group that meets virtually during the day. And that those are for individuals who struggle with an addiction, but also have been diagnosed with a mental health disorder. And how do we, and the group looks at really, how do we provide solution to both of them? Or does one need to be addressed before the other? These are oftentimes questions that people have when they're challenged both by addiction problems and mental health. The addiction is oftentimes a means to cope with the mental health challenge, really self-medicate. The mental health challenge can be a result of continued addictive behaviors. I would strongly encourage Mary to find others who have been in this situation who might know how to, because Mary needs to take some action herself. It's not just wait around and hope that this person comes to her senses. But, you know, I would strongly encourage finding a group, Al-Anon or a Catholic in Recovery family and friends group, where you can find others who have been in your situation and circumstances, because you're just as powerless over the situation as she is.
Mary, thank you so much for the call. I know many, many people are praying for that young woman and for you right now, so you can be assured of that support. And if you want to check it out, CatholicInRecovery.com. Just tell me about the workbook. Bernadette in Colorado, I'm coming to you next. I don't want you to think I've forgotten about you, but tell me about the workbook.
Yeah, I was actually going to make reference to the Catholic in Recovery workbook when the gentleman or the person had called regarding scrupulosity. So when in the workbook, which is 20 sections, works through the 12 steps while integrating Catholic spirituality. In the second step, we do take a look at what are these barriers to faith and real barriers to a true surrender to God, looking at things like defiance or indifference, scrupulosity. And so these are really, the steps are listed in order for a reason. We admit that we're powerless at first, you know, in the first step, and kind of move our way out, but they're to be done in order, not by ourselves, but with a group of people. And so you can find the Catholic in Recovery workbook at CatholicInRecovery.com, AveMariaPress.com, Amazon, other places. We also have a digital platform that's a companion to the workbook, where we call it CIR Plus. There's a free version and a premium version. The premium version offers that workbook companion. So for each of the 20 sections, we have video testimonials from individuals who have kind of shared experience around that part of the 12 steps, and can be very helpful to build a sense of community while working through the 12 steps. We'll also be offering 12-step workbook groups beginning in August. And so we'll be really leading individuals through the 12 steps with the Catholic in Recovery workbook. And we'll be beginning those 12-step workbook groups every month. And so new cohorts starting on a monthly basis. This is something that will be communicating more on CatholicInRecovery.com.
Now we'll go to Bernadette. Bernadette, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott and Cy. I appreciate it. I'm calling about a brother of mine who has, I believe, an addiction to stuff. He has a storage unit that's half full of hobby type of items, and he's really so overwhelmed he can't even deal with it. But it's costing him a lot of money to just pay for that storage each month. And he's in a job that it doesn't help that he gets like discounts to purchase these kinds of items. And I think it could be also a factor of our parents. We're kind of, my dad grew up in the tail end of the Depression. And so, you know, they were not prone to throwing much of anything away. And now both my parents have passed away and I'm in charge of going through their stuff. So I think there's also some overeating involved. And I think, you know, I think he's also angry with God. So I don't know where to kind of help direct him. And I'm not sure he's willing yet. That's the other big piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. That's an important piece of the puzzle, and grateful that you recognized it, and really grateful for your call. And so a couple of things have been really revealing to me. Some of the most, some of the biggest revelations I've had since starting Catholic in Recovery, and really seeing this community grow, is that first and foremost, I would say, is that the number of people who seek recovery from food-related addictions is nearly as much as people who are seeking recovery from alcohol and drug-related addictions. And the next is how prevalent cluttering or hoarding or the obsessive collection of stuff is prevalent in our society today. And also, those two things are oftentimes linked. We oftentimes see different addictions and compulsive behaviors that are linked together. And those two, hoarding or cluttering, however you want to label it, and overeating are oftentimes very much linked. I believe that it has to do with this sense of scarcity. We have this inherent belief that there's never going to be enough, and we operate from this place of scarcity. And so we need to collect and gather and protect. That is true of someone myself, who is a recovering alcoholic or even active in addiction, certainly more prevalent while in active addiction, where one drink was too much, but 1,000 was never enough. It's just this, some people in recovery fellowships will describe it, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, as a disease of more. We are never satisfied and there's never enough. And so there's very little space for God in any of that. Now, it can be very challenging to begin, kind of get that willingness or harness some of that willingness. A lot of times, unfortunately, that willingness comes from a place of pain, or as we would describe, rock bottom. But other things can happen. I mean, there is also, some people might be thinking to themselves, like, do I need to intervene on my loved one? Is it in the best interest of them if I say something about this? How might I go about doing that? If that is a question, then there are options available for professional help to intervene and care for your loved one. I was even just thinking about this earlier the other day, like, how responsible are we for our brother or our sister, our brother's keeper or our sister's keeper? What is our responsibility, and how challenging it is to see someone that we love go through something so unfulfilling or so empty? But what place do we have? That certainly will rest in your relationship with that person. Do you have a relationship where you can speak truth to them and they can receive it in some kind of way? Oftentimes getting the whole family on the same page can create some sense of, we're not just attacking you, but we want to see your wellness. We want to see you well. And we're willing to take actions ourselves in order to do that as well. That's kind of what begins to come to my mind when related to this, but I would certainly classify that hoarding, that collection of stuff, that never being satisfied with enough, as certainly an addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment. I would suggest, if there is willingness, or if other callers are dealing with the same thing themselves, or a loved one is dealing with the same thing and there's some willingness there, we have a virtual meeting on Sunday nights, CatholicInRecovery.com. You can find the meeting information, but it's a behavior and process addiction recovery group. And so this kind of like process addiction, which is, you know, collection of things. It might be it might not be as tangible as taking a drug or taking a drink or something along those lines, but, you know, it's a process, much like the rewards, short-lived, but similar to the rewards of someone who takes the first drink or who snorts cocaine or something along those lines. And unfortunately, the effects can be detrimental as well, not only physically, emotionally, spiritually, and cognitively. So Mary, not Mary, but Elizabeth, it sounds like you, Bernadette, thank you for your call. And does any of that make sense to you?
It does. Thank you. Sounds like the key is, I'm not sure he's willing to be helped. And he's also, it's affecting me directly because he's currently living with me, because this storage unit is basically his rent and he can't live there. So
this is having an effect on you as well.
Exactly. And my children are affected by.
It sounds like you might be in a position where you can speak some of this to him. You know, a lot of times speaking the how another person's behavior affects us. And if we can do this from a place of emotional balance, where we're not getting really emotionally charged, but can do it in a way that is level and just as kind of a sharing of the truth, that can be very grounding. And it can also propel, you may not get an immediate reaction that you're looking for, but over time it might plant this idea of a need for change within him, which might spark some willingness. And, you know, your willingness to, you can't do it for him, but to be there and provide the support that he needs along the way can be helpful. And sometimes that might even just be walking, going with him to his storage unit and just, we're going to take some action today and we're going to get through this. But, you know, the cleaning out of the stuff is not a solution if really what's at the foundation of it, which is a, sounds like a fear of scarcity and other things are not really solved.
Bernadette, I'm going to leave it there because we do have to take a break. I'll take the break. We'll be right back with more calls for Scott Wieman. We're talking about the Catholic faith, addiction, recovery. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. We'll be right back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN Global Catholic Network is the largest religious media network in the world. 11 global TV channels, English and Spanish radio networks with over 500 AM and FM radio affiliates, one of the largest Catholic websites in the world, dozens of podcasts every week, social media, electronic and print news services, and EWTN publishing. EWTN is the global Catholic network. For more about EWTN, visit EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can go if you want to know more about this. CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. And Scott's usually in studio here with us. As a matter of fact, I just saw Chris Check walk in the studio and he exclaimed. I couldn't hear him because he's on the other side, but he was like, why isn't he here? I think that's the way I interpreted his exclamation. So why aren't you here, Scott? Why what's the matter with us that you won't come in the studio with it? What are you up to?
Well, we've been taking too long to get a Catholic in Recovery podcast started with Catholic Answers.
Oh, so you're afraid to face us? Network.
So I'm yeah. No, it truly pains me to not be in studio today. I love the energy that we have and taking calls. And there's a few things that I get to do that are more rewarding and I think valuable than taking live calls.
So, yeah.
But right now, I am in the midst of a 75-day road trip around the country that my family, my wife and three kids are part of. And I'm currently in Nashville, Tennessee. I visited Catholic in Recovery groups in Phoenix, Arizona, Clovis, New Mexico, San Antonio, Dallas, the Woodlands, Lafayette, Louisiana, Slidell, New Orleans, or just outside of New Orleans, Tuscaloosa, various groups around the country. We had a Catholic in Recovery retreat at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hansville, Alabama, just north of Birmingham. And I'm getting to connect and participate in all these Catholic in Recovery groups, which are taking place. And it's been an incredible experience to just see and meet the people who are finding our groups. Some of them have been in recovery for a long time and are seeking an infusion of their faith in the recovery, and others are just getting their recovery started. Some of them are family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, and they're finding other family members who are showing them some important principles of family recovery and getting really employing a new way of life. And others are people who are seeking recovery from an addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment, maybe for the first time, or maybe they're trying again. And it's been really wonderful to see how, you know, this community is growing around the country and around the world. And it's been incredibly rewarding, and I look forward to doing more. We're going to have a meeting in Notre Dame University and looking to do some collaboration with the McGrath Institute of Church Life in Notre Dame and their FIAT program, which combines mental health and faith-related activities and a variety of other things. There are many of opportunities that exist. We seek to support priests and seminarians, both in their own recovery needs, but also in providing pastoral care for their communities. all sorts of different things taking place. But yeah, it's been a wonderful road trip. The next time I'm on live, I'll be in studio.
Okay, good. All right, very, very, very good. It's wonderful, just so wonderful to hear about all that that's going on, Scott. It's just wonderful to think of all the healing that will come from that. When you visit these, the various Catholic and recovery groups, the person who started it, did they start it because they went online and there's like on the website, is there something where he goes, hey, if you want to start a group in your parish, is there that kind of thing?
That's right. Yeah. Every group in the United States has started. I gotta say this, partly they might hear me on Catholic Answers Live and then submit a form on our website. So CatholicInRecovery.com, we have a meetings tab. You can find an in-person meeting or a virtual meeting within that menu option, but you can also click a link to start a new group. And that just provides a form where you can fill out that we receive, contact you, and work with you to get a Catholic and recovery group started in your community. Really, what we look for in someone who's getting a group started is someone who has personal recovery experience. So you have to be able to relate to the experience of those people who are coming. It's, you know, recovery doesn't work just by someone getting up in the class and teaching a curriculum, but it's really just everyone being on a level playing field, sharing experience, strength, and hope, and seeking recovery one day at a time. And so recovery experience is vital. You know, certainly being a faithful Catholic, active in a church life is very important as well. But, you know, we have plenty of resources to provide help and support along the way. And if anyone is listening right now that wants to get a Catholic in recovery group started or just learn more about the process, go to CatholicInRecovery.com, check out our meetings menu option and click on start a new group, fill out that form, and we'll be happy to help you.
You know, I didn't actually hear anything you said after Catholic Answers Live is helpful in this. So I've just been sitting here thinking about that. But I'm sure everything you said was great, but that was, I shut down after that. CatholicInRecovery.com, do go, do visit, find out how you can be involved. Let's go to Jim in Portland, Oregon, listening on KBVM. We're so glad you're here, Jim. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Okay. I was wondering, in your program, does God kind of come across, you get the feel that there's a sense of a kindly, friendly sense of humor? Because I think that would be a very good sign. I also wanted to add, I don't think God likes to play God, but people do.
I'm going to be stealing that last thing. I'm going to steal that last one and act like I thought of it. It's very good, Jim. But So what kind of God is the God of Catholic in recovery?
It's a good question. So I recall, you know, the first meeting, October 10th, 2011, I woke up that morning and I did something different. I got to an early morning recovery group. And that saved my life. Now, when I got there, it was early in the morning. I was used to sleeping through hangovers at this time. It was in the second floor of an Episcopal church in Pacific Beach, San Diego. And I got to the stairwell and I could hear laughter and camaraderie coming from above. And I thought to myself, if these people have any idea what I'm going through, there's no reason that they should be laughing. I got to be in the wrong place. And, you know, but lo and behold, I went up, made my way up to the room, sat in the back corner and tried not to be noticed. I was noticed and someone came up to me, looked me in the eye, said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. But there was something about the laughter and the camaraderie that was very freeing. You know, I think that laughter is a sign of freedom and an expression, even in, you know, so there is a, you know, one of the expressions that you'll hear sometimes in recovery groups is they'll refer to Rule 62. Do you know Rule 62, Cy?
Not a clue.
No, you don't.
No.
Rule 62, don't take yourself so seriously. Now, take your recovery very seriously, but sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously. And we should take our faith very seriously. We should take our recovery very seriously. But sometimes we can be a little bit light on ourselves and not always take ourselves so seriously. So I appreciate what Jim mentioned about, you know, having some lightness in recovery or that laughter being a sign of healing. I think great healing. We can laugh about the things that if just an onlooker and an outside observer were in a room or in a recovery meeting, you guys are laughing about this stuff. But there is this collective freedom. It's almost like being like revived from a shipwreck or something like that, where there's a, you know, this long-term camaraderie that exists among the people who have found freedom, who have been saved and now get to one day at a time, love, know, and serve God with all their heart, mind, and soul. And there is a beauty to that. I mean, challenges exist in my day every day, but my worst days today are not even close to as bad as my best days when I was active in my addiction, just chained to alcohol, drugs, lust, you name it. You know, I was just seeking all these things in place of God, and I was playing God myself. And boy, so grateful that God intervened somehow.
Jim, thank you. Thank you very, very much for that question. And I very much appreciate the call. Scott Wieman is our guest. I keep saying the website because I'm so proud that I finally am getting it right, CatholicInRecovery.com. CatholicInRecovery.com. I want to just ask you about something. You talk about the community side of it. And I'm thinking about Mary's call about the young person who's struggling so much with cutting and the transgender stuff and all of that. And I feel like maybe young people aren't getting enough community. And I wonder if that's part of the, you know, that what leads us down the path of addiction. And that's part of why it's the cure, why community is the cure, is that we're so desperate for community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone argue that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, but rather is connection. And that implies that it's in isolation that we really find addiction. You know, and like many others, the closet user, drinker, whatever, we cannot find the solution in isolation. That has to be done in community, the community of saints. The communion of saints, our collective experience and relationship with God, and also our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other, and He empowers us in many ways, just like He's, you know, Jesus empowers His apostles to go spread the good news and share it to all corners of the globe. He asks us to do the same thing. And so this is very much where the 12th step, where we're called to share a message of hope with others, collides with our really the sacrament of confirmation, where we are to go make disciples of all nations. You know, we have special experience, strength, and hope to share with individuals who are in a place of still suffering. And so as the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous mentions on page 125, what was once our worst, you know, the darkest part of our lives becomes one of the greatest assets to help other individuals and families, but also to keep us attached to God one day at a time. I think recovery is such a great gift, and I invite everyone, to find it in some way themselves.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you have the chance to make that appeal at the before we end, because we're absolutely ravaged by addiction. Our society, our culture, absolutely ravaged by addiction. It's in every home. It does strike me that because of my own kids, our young adults, I feel sensitive to the fact that it seems like people are very young. I meet very young people, 19, 20, you know, up to 25 or so, who have been to rehab, who are in recovery. And I part of me is hopeful about that, because I think a generation ago, they might have gone on 20 more years before they got to that. But also, they're so young, you know, to have had to face that.
Yeah, I mean, it's oftentimes generational. It's a generational disease. It's a generational spiritual disease, and we pass along what we know. And so, you know, many people are not even ever exposed to a life outside of this a life of addiction, and you know, they receive messages throughout their whole life that in order to like just find a way to cope, or you know, seek a you know, so we become attached to these things that we make idols, because they're doing for us what only God can really do. And that's providing a sense of peace, a sense of hope, and, you know, whether it be alcohol, drugs, food, lust, gambling, technology, cluttering or hoarding. You know, these are all just false and personifications of God. And there is a God there. He's inviting us to relationship with Him, and I invite everyone to seek it.
Praise God. Scott Wieman, we're so blessed to have you as a friend, personally and as a friend of this apostolate. God bless you and all your work at Catholic in Recovery.
Thank you. Thank you, Ty.
CatholicInRecovery.com. I'm not going to stop saying it because I'm saying it right this time. CatholicInRecovery.com. We'll see you tomorrow for 2 hours of open forum, God willing, right here at Catholic Answers Live.